Greetings in Jesus' name. Very thankful this morning to be singing some songs of praise to our Lord Savior Jesus Christ, who without him, life would be meaningless. Of course, as we realize, there wouldn't be life at all without him. But if I did not have Jesus in my heart, I would, which I've contemplated this before as far as where would I be. I think I mentioned before, I don't consider myself a really crazy person, so I don't think I'd be doing crazy things from what, but I would not be in a good spot, be lost, eternally condemned. Let's pause for prayer. Father in heaven, we give you many thanks for the blessing to be here this morning, to come before you, to worship you in spirit and in truth. I thank you for the opportunity that we have to look into your word, to encourage one another onto holiness. I do pray that you would work in each of our hearts to bring the needed repentance that is needed, the desire and yearning to serve you, the love for others around us to shine your light, that we would be the ambassadors that you desire us to be to the world around us, that your will would be done through us. I give you many thanks. Lift this time up before you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to look at the first few verses here in the book of Obadiah. Obadiah is the shortest book in the Old Testament. I'd like to read some verses in Ezekiel before I do that to give a little bit of background. In Ezekiel chapter 25, if you remember, we talked a little bit about Esau last time I spoke. In Ezekiel chapter 25, in verses 12 to 14, Ezekiel writes here, "Thus saith the Lord God, because that Edom hath dealt against the house of Judah by taking vengeance, and hath greatly offended and revenged himself upon them. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will also stretch out my hand against Edom, and will cut off man and beast from it. And I will make it desolate from Teman, and they of Dedan shall fall by the sword. And I will lay my vengeance upon Edom by the hand of my people Israel, and they shall do in Edom according to mine anger and according to my fury, and they shall know my vengeance, saith the Lord God." Just a little bit of very brief background here of basically what the book of Obadiah here is. In the first verse, the first phrase I should say here, I guess it's the first sentence, according to the way my Bible is written, the vision of Obadiah. Obadiah has a vision concerning Edom. And then keeping in mind that mind there, that those few verses in Ezekiel, when I look at this book, when I first looked at it, do I want to be a stubborn person? Do I want to be hard-headed? Do I want to be, as maybe a biblical term here, stiff-necked? Looked up a couple of verses about stiff-necked people. The few verses that I looked up about stiff-necked are people who want their own way. Selfish, desiring, wanting what they want, not wanting what God wants. The two verses I wrote down here, the first one is talked about in Exodus chapter 32. God tells Moses that the Israelites are stiff-necked people. They made themselves a golden calf. They were going to go their own way. Moses went up to the mountain. They got scared. They probably had reason to be scared. They didn't know what was going on. But instead of falling towards the Lord and desiring to yearn for his guidance, they went their own way and wanted to turn around back to Egypt. And then also in the New Testament, in Acts chapter 7, Stephen called, he went through the history of Israel there to the people that were about to stone him, and got to the point where you killed the prophets. You're a stiff-necked people. People who want to go their own way. Is that the direction I would want to go? I look at Adam as a person who went into that direction. Or do I want to learn from what others have gone through? Do I want to have a soft heart? Do I want to have that heart of flesh that is talked about in Ezekiel chapter 36? That God can take that stony heart, that stiff-necked heart, and make it soft so that I could receive what God has. I believe that is why we are here today, is to have God turn that heart into a nice soft heart so that he can have his way in my life. Do I want to have my own way, be a stiff-necked person, or do I want to learn from other people's struggles? You know, sometimes I've heard many times people say that the Old Testament can be kind of difficult because there's a lot of judgment, there's a lot of war, there's a lot of difficult times. But there are things that we can learn from that, and that's what I kind of would like to look at today. One of the trials, one of the difficulties that I think we can learn from, to kind of give an example, and the only reason I'm using this example is because this is an example that Edom had, that God chose through Edom, or Adam, however you want to say that. And that is, you know, do I want to, I guess in a sense, this has already happened for me, so, you know, maybe you can look back in the past, or you can look towards the future. Do I marry for excitement and fun? Now, I know the phrase is fun and excitement, but I had to think about that for a second. Is usually, you know, it kind of goes, you know, we like excitement, so then therefore we want to have fun. Do I want to marry somebody for excitement and fun, or do I want to marry somebody for love, the love of that person, and for service to God? And I see that this example with Adam and Jacob, and we see that we can apply those principles to our own lives. To go back to the text here in Obadiah chapter 1, the first two verses read, "The vision of Obadiah, thus saith the Lord God concerning Adam. We have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise ye, and let us rise up against her in battle. Behold, I have made thee small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised." I don't think rumor, I mean, the way we speak English today, rumor isn't probably the best word to be used there. So when I see something like that, it kind of makes me stop for a moment. Is I heard a rumor. I'm not exactly sure what he means there. So I did look it up, and the rumor would be something like an announcement. I heard an announcement, or what the concordance I looked at said tidings. You know, God said something today. I heard something today from an ambassador, from a herald, from a messenger. Other versions would say that the ambassador would be a messenger. I heard something from God today, it says here, among the heathen, arise and let us rise up against battle. Behold, I have made thee small among the heathen, thou art greatly despised. Verse 2 there, thou art greatly despised, I have made thee small among the heathen. You know, I'd like to look at that probably a little bit more later, but I see here in the first couple of verses, there is the setting up for what is told here in verses 3 and 4, as the first two words talk about the pride. Verse 3 reads, "The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. Thou hast dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, Who shall bring me down to the ground? Though thou exalt thyself as an eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. There are three things there in verses 3 and 4 that stood out to me as far as things that I needed to learn. Those three things were pride, deceived, and exalt. They are not a good combination. What are these descriptions pointing towards? If we look at the pride, it says it looks like the pride is pointing toward the heart. The deceived is to thee, and the exalt is thyself. A heart of pride, I am deceived, and do I exalt myself, is what these two verses are talking about. The consequences of those things, it's talked about at the end of verse 4, and that is, it says, I will bring thee down, saith the Lord. What can I learn from these? Pride in my heart can and will deceive. It can deceive me, it will deceive me, to think more highly of myself than I ought. That made me, my minds go to Romans chapter 12. Some very familiar verses here, but this is where my mind had brought me to here. In Romans chapter 12, really looking at verse 3, I'd like to read a few verses. Paul writes here in Romans, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. There in verse 3, not thinking more highly of himself than he ought to think, but soberly, according to God. That is not the place that the Adamites were in. It's not the place that Edom was in when he was, before he fathered the nation. In order to fall into this temptation of pride, in order not to fall, I'm not sure if I said not there, in order not to fall into this temptation of pride that is talked about in chapter 12 here, there I need to also go through verse 2, and that is not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed, being transformed by the renewing of my mind. In order to stay away from pride, there that is spoken of in verses 3 and 4, my mind needs to be transformed, to think soberly according to what God has dealt with me, whether it be me being behind God or in front of God. Pride can be used. I don't have to be I don't have to be great in order to have a pride problem. It's very easy to have a low self-esteem, but still have a pride issue. Whether we be behind God or before God. With the idea there that I need to be transformed, I had to think that in my decision-making process, I wish that I could be separated from my experiences in order to make good and wise decisions. But unfortunately, that's not the case. that our experiences, how we live our life, help us to form the decisions that we make. And when we have poor experiences, there's a lot of times we can make poor decisions. But that is why I think it's really spoken of very clearly here in Romans chapter 12, why we need to have a renewed mind, why we need to be transformed. We need to allow God to transform us. If Adam, if the nation there allowed God, if they allowed God to transform them, they wouldn't have been in the place that they're in. But they needed a new mind, but they were not willing to do so. Another thing that came to mind as I was reading these verses was the need for forgiveness. And now how I got there, they might be thinking as well, we got pride and we have deceived and exalting thyself. Well, it's through judgment is how I got to the idea of the need of forgiveness. God said there in the end of verse 4 that he is going to bring down the people of Adam, and that therefore they are going to receive judgment. In order to not receive the poor judgment that they're going to get, repentance is necessary. In order for repentance to take hold, forgiveness is needed to be given. I'd like to read some verses here in Genesis. In Genesis chapter 27 and verse 35, well, maybe 34, and this is after Esau found out that Isaac had already blessed Jacob. It says, And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry and said unto his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, thy brother came with subtlety and hath taken away thy blessing. And he said, is not he rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? And as Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants, and with corn and wine have I sustained him, and shall I do now unto thee my son? And Esau said unto his father, hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth, and of the dew of heaven from above. And by thy word shalt thou live, and shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off his neck. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing where his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, these days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then I will slay my brother Jacob. Esau was in the need to forgive his brother in order to receive the blessings that God has to give him. That's what happens in my life. If I have a very difficult time, if I find myself in a spot, do I perpetuate the very same thing that got me there to begin with? you know, that's what I see here in this the beginning of this chapter is three things: pride that can be deceiving, the need to be transformed in order to have forgiveness, which is essential in order to have repentance. But repentance is not to be done on my terms, but is to be done on God's terms. Esau did change some things. If we go back to Genesis, in Genesis chapter 26, it talks about Esau's wives being a grief to Isaac and Rebekah. But I'd like to read some verses in Genesis chapter 28. Kind of as a comparison here. In 28 verses 1 through 5, read, "And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him, and charged him and said unto him, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. And God Almighty bless thee, and take thee fruitful, and multiply thee, that thou mayest be multiplied of people. And give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee, and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. And Isaac sent away Jacob, and he went to Padan Aram unto Laban, son of Bethuel, the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob's and Esau's mother." So Jacob went as his parents had told him to go find a wife. And when Esau, when he heard those words, let's see, start in verse 6 here. "And when Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan Aram to take him a wife from thence, and that he, as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. And that Jacob obeyed his father and mother, and was gone to Padan Aram. And Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father, then went Esau unto Ishmael, and took unto the wives which he had, Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, and the sister of Nebajabth, to be his wife." So Esau continued in the same pattern that he had started earlier, in doing things his own way. He didn't follow the precepts his parents designed for him, but he just shifted his tactics. Do I do that instead of repent? Do I do that instead of renewing my mind? Do I just shift to the side a little bit and say, well, this is almost good enough, you know? Well, you know, as a child, you know, my parents want me to do 1, 2, 3, and do I do 4, 5, 6? It's pretty close, you know, 4, 5, and 6 is pretty close to 1, 2, 3, but it's not. And these are the things that I see here in the book of Obadiah, is the need to stay true and not just do close enough, which is what Esau did here. So I would like to just leave us with that thought there, is the need to stay true to what the Word says, to what the Spirit says, to how God, what God has for us, and not something to be just close enough. Thank you for your time.